you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey, 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 welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. I have met up here in Midtown Manhattan with John at a different Starbucks than the one we usually meet at.
Yeah, absolutely. We are on 42nd Street, right across from the AMC movie theater. And believe it or not, that building was moved from down on the corner, and then they just bumped it up a little bit.
Oh yeah, that's right. Only just noticing that now. By the way, guys, today is a very special episode. We are going back in time. We're going to hop on the time machine and fly back to 1979. We're going to fly back to 2005 when Talking Metal first hit the scene. We are going to re-air in today's episode. We're going to re-air episode 10. And I know somebody somewhere is saying, oh, these cheapskates, they're re-airing an older episode and they don't have new material. Well, F you, guys. Because this was a great episode. It currently is not even available anywhere online. It's episode 10 of the Talking Metal Podcast, and in October 2005, Blabbermouth issued a news piece about what you're about to hear. Do you want to read the news piece, John?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It says, StrigglesMusicNews.com has posted episode 10 of their Talking Metal Podcast, The Striper Special. Host Mark Striegel and co-host John Astronomy discuss Astronomy's experience at the recent Striper concert at B.B. King Blues Club in New York City. The episode also features interviews with Striper members Michael Sweet, Robert Sweet, Oz Fox, and Tracy Ferry, who was at the time replacing Tim Gaines.
Yeah, and who is no longer in Striper, actually.
Right. As well as an interview with Reborn co-producer Kenny Lewis. The playlist includes the title track of the group's new album, Reborn, pictures from the show, as well as the 30-minute podcast can be downloaded at this location. And then they go on to talk a little bit about Striper. But that was a great experience. But as you know, Mark, there was a little bit of a scandal. And here's what happened. I actually sat down and did, like, long interviews with, like, each guy in the group. And this was the first time I was doing one of these remote interviews, and I had this old laptop and some kind of mic contraption, and somehow I didn't tape any of it. So then Striper played, and I was, like, sick to my stomach, and I went to each guy and said, guess what, there was a little technical problem. I said, can I ask you a couple more questions? I still think it came out great, but what a thing to happen on your first interview.
Totally. We've lost, you know, we've done 425 episodes of Talking Metal. Not all of them have interviews, but a lot of them have. And we've lost three interviews through the years. Striper was the first one, which John then, of course, re-recorded. And you're going to hear episode 10, which includes all those interviews in its entirety in just a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. But then we did a live show when we were doing the live shows from Bionic. and we interviewed a bunch of people on one of the, including Frankie Benelli, who gave a great like 40-minute interview. And there were about 30 people listening live that night, so 30 of you heard it. But we lost that interview. Bionic lost it. It wasn't really our fault. Somehow they erased the drive the next morning, and we tried to restore it. One of our Talking Metal listeners even tried to help restore it, and it never happened. And I'm pissed about that one. And then recently, I, of course, lost an interview with Hailstorm that I recorded. So, listen, we're not perfect. Anyways.
You know what? One other thing. We lost a couple of photos with Lacuna Coil as well. I did. I lost that. I remember that we had a couple of pictures with different members of the group. We wound up later re-meeting Lacuna Coil, but there were a couple of photos. So there's three podcasts and or three interviews and like one or two photos.
Cool. Guys, right now, before we get into episode 10 from October 2005, let's listen to a little Striper from 2011. This is Striper covering the Iron Maiden classic, The Trooper. That was The Trooper by Striper. Use those show links in today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. They will open up your iTunes, take you right to that track where you can download it, and we get a cut back on that. We need your support, guys. Consider making a PayPal donation on TalkingMetal.com. And, of course, use our Amazon links. I checked those today, and you guys are definitely using them. All you do is, you know, before you go to Amazon to make your purchase, you just go to Talking Metal, use our link to open up Amazon, and then do your search for whatever product you need. There's no additional cost for using the Talking Metal link, and we get a little kickback on that. So again, somewhere somebody right now is about to make a purchase on Amazon. Before you go to Amazon.com, just take that extra step. Go to TalkingMetal.com, click on our link that opens up Amazon, and then go in and make your purchase, and you support Talking Metal by doing that. So we're about to get into the interview John did with the different members of Striper, including Tracy, who's no longer in Striper, I believe. And Oz Fox and Michael Sweet are also a part of this podcast, episode 10 of Talking Metal, which we didn't even have TalkingMetal.com back then. It was Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Yeah, that was great. I remember we had a whole logo and everything for StrigglesMusicNews.com that I thought was pretty cool. And, Mark, I have to hand it to you. You came up with the idea to do this, and it flew, and it's great being a part of the team. So we're going to get into listening back to episode 10 of Talking Metal, but just want to catch up with everybody for a little bit. Mark, how's everything going? What's going on?
Everything's good. Going through some stuff at work now, which I was telling you about before the episode. Everything will be fine. If anything, it'll give me a little more time to work on Talking Metal and Talking Metal Digital. Again, we have the live stream that's up, playing music and interviews and podcasts 24/7. That's through Live 365. So definitely check out Talking Metal Digital on Live 365. As far as what's up with me, I'm going to see Black Sabbath this Sunday in New Jersey. There was a funny clip, which actually you pointed out to me, of Ozzy, I guess, struggling a bit with pitch on Children of the Grave. Kind of hoping he gets it together by this Sunday.
Well, you're so lucky that you're going to the gig. I'm going to be also having a great time out in St. Louis with Ace Frehley at the DEF CON Contamination Convention, which by the time you hear this, it might be had already passed. But check out acefrehley.com for a bunch of dates that we're going to be doing conventions throughout the fall.
And if you see John out with Ace ever, go up and say, hey, I'm a fan of Talking Metal, because we always like to meet up with you guys when we're at concerts or when John's out on the road with Ace. And speaking of Ace, you did some playing with him, actually, recently in New York City.
Yeah, Ace and I were up at the Gibson Guitar Showroom in New York City about a week and a half ago. And two other Gibson signature artists, Bill Kelleher from Mastodon, who has the Golden Axe Explorer, and Jason Hook from Five Finger Death Punch, who has the M4 Sherman Explorer, were both there. So we decided to jam on a blues tune together. And Ace started it on guitar, and Bill picked up a bass that was sitting there. It was a Les Paul Gold Top bass. And Jason, of course, had his really cool Explorer. You got to check it out, Mark, because you got to check out both Jason's Explorer and Bill's Explorer. So then I went back behind a drum kit, and we just played like a five-minute blues tune. But it was really amazing to be able to jam with not only Ace, but with Jason and Bill. And, I mean, what a cool thing.
Does audio or video exist of this jam? And is there any chance I could check it out at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go to my Facebook page, one of the Gibson New York pages shared the video with me. So basically, if you go to if you just go to Facebook and search John Astronomy, you'll get my page, and you can then watch the video. It's in my timeline.
All right, cool. I'll try to actually find that and link it through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. So without further ado, we're going to get into the classic episode of Talking Metal from 2005, where John interviews Stryper. And we're going to play the episode in its entirety. And obviously, the contest that John mentions at the end, where we were giving away stuff, is not happening. That contest is long over. I feel like Chiaki may have won that contest. Is that Chiaki from Metal Moment Podcast? I'm not sure. I feel like he did, but let me know, Chiaki.
Yeah, remember we should start doing some contests again as well. We did a really big contest with Zach Wild and Gibson and some other companies where we were gave away a guitar, like an Epiphone Zach Wild model guitar and a bunch of pedals and stuff. And with the Stryper contest, we gave away a bunch of CDs and stuff. And maybe we'll start up some giveaways in the future.
Sounds like a plan. Let's get into episode 10 of the Talking Metal Podcast. Checking in. Hey, this is Mark Striegel, and you're listening to Talking Metal, episode 10. This is a very special edition of Talking Metal. It's the Stryper edition of Talking Metal. And I'm joined here with my co-host, not only my co-host, but the field reporter of Talking Metal, John Astronomy. John was recently out at a Stryper show here in New York City at B.B. King's Blues Club. And John, tell us what went down.
I had the amazing opportunity to talk with each member of the band and the co-producer of the new album, Reborn. His name is Kenny Lewis. We're going to start off tonight with my interview with brand new Stryper bassist, Tracy Ferry. Hi, this is John Astronomy, and you're listening to Talking Metal. I am here at the B.B. King Blues Club in New York City at the Stryper concert with brand new Stryper bassist, Tracy. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
So you guys have a new album out called Reborn. You guys have a new label, new tour. It feels like Striper has been reborn.
Absolutely. A little bit of new sound, but still definitely has the familiar Striper sound. I'm a new guy, and I've kind of been involved in the one way or another for some time now on Michael's solo projects. And different guys in the band have gone through some different things in their life, and they're ready to pick up and bring the message back to the fans and back to the world.
Very, very cool. And speaking of fans, I was noticing that you guys really have a hardcore group of fans.
I'll tell you that Striper fans are the most incredible fans in the world. When we're in the signing lines, they'll come up to me, and I'm a little nervous about how I'm going to be received, filling such big shoes. And they'll reach out, and they'll say, "Welcome to the family." And I don't know if you get that anywhere else except for Kiss. Like I said, that kind of fan base, where they feel like they're just as much a part of it as I am, as a hired new guy.
I was going to mention Kiss because people hold Kiss conventions, and Striper, you've got your own fans who hold Striper conventions, and I think there have been two of them so far, one in the U.S. and one in Costa Rica, and I just think it's great that any band has fans that care enough to hold their own conventions.
Actually, there were two in the U.S., East Coast and West Coast, so and I think there's probably some of the same people at both of them.
That's amazing. Basically, Tracy, were you a fan of Striper before joining the band?
Yes, I was in a very low place in my life and was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders with anger and bitterness. I had gotten jumped by these four guys in Boston and was all messed up. I looked like one of the Rocky episodes or something, and I was traveling in a vehicle, black and blue face, missing teeth, and I heard a Striper song come on, and I felt a lift off my shoulders from the message of the music, and it made me want to hear more.
Tracy, I knew about that story, and you're not going to believe this, but I went
to...
One of the guys? No, not one of the guys. You're not going to believe this. I had a very similar situation in Boston, and a gang jumped us, and some friends of mine had broken noses. One of them even had to leave school, and when I read that, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I was a Berkeley student at the time, but I was in a vehicle. We had taken a vehicle, one of the few guys that had a car, and we went to the Rat Poison concert at the Worcester Centrum, and we were on the way back, and we got run off the road.
Did the police ever find the people?
They did find the people. There was a brand new guy. It was like his first week on the beat, and he made such a terrible report and made it out the long-haired guy was the perpetrator, and it was all wrong. In fact, the courts, when we went in after my surgery, I said, "Look at me, you know," and they took the case. The DA took the case, and they hunted the guys down, and we went to court with them. And I don't really know all what happened to each individual. I was pretty messed up, and I was wanting to move on with my life and get out to California and start rocking again. I just went from East Coast to West Coast and just started all over.
Wow, Tracy, what a story. And the important thing now is that you're here, you're in Striper, you've got a great message, and I'm glad you're okay. And speaking of the message, I think that there's so much negativity in the music industry right now that it's really refreshing to see you guys back out there spreading a positive message. And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel the world is in desperate need of hope. 80s, 90s, 2000 and beyond. And that's what Striper carries, is a message of hope. It's positive, but there's also something that is eternal about the message with Striper. And I love the 90s music and the riffs and the way the music is mixed and the sound of it. But the lyrics bum me out, that I kind of tune them out sometimes just to enjoy the talent that's there. But the wonderful thing of Striper with the Reborn record, we tried to update the sound, as I said before, but still carry that consistent message of hope, and that you mean something, and that you are made in the image of God.
Wow, that's amazing. And speaking of the new sound on the album, I spoke to Michael earlier, and I was talking about how I really think that you've successfully taken the old Striper sound and mixed it in with sounds of today and did it the right way. It sounds very natural.
We all were in agreement about that, and I was involved from the beginning of when the band started to re-record the songs. They were originally something Michael was shopping as a solo, the next solo record, and Oz had heard this stuff, and we were doing a show in Orlando. It was my first show, as a matter of fact, and Oz was just flipping over the material, and Robert, and just a light came on it, and Michael thought, why don't we make this a Striper record? And when you put Robert's drumming on something, there's no way it can't be Striper. I mean, it's so signature, his playing, his style, his energy, and what he brings to life when he plays. And so I think that has such a big part of it. I know I probably don't sound like Timmy, and I bring something different to the table, and but you got Michael's, you know, wonderful melodic vocal parts, but with a, you know, an edgy, up-to-date sound.
Hey, Tracy, thanks very much. I really appreciate it, and I know you guys got to go, so thank you again for coming by, and we'll talk to you soon.
We are back. This is Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. John, this is some very, very cool stuff. You know, Tracy sounds like a real cool guy. How did he sound during the show?
He sounded like he'd been with the band for years. Plus, he showed great respect for former Striper bassist Timothy Gaines.
Cool. Yeah, I remember the classic lineup with Tim Gaines, Oz Fox, and the Sweet Brothers. Very cool. Up next, we're going to take a listen to the interview you did with guitarist Oz Fox.
Yeah, Oz and his friend Laura Brewster came over to the table. Now, Laura had a major role in reuniting the original members of Striper a couple of years ago, so it was very cool to talk to her. Here's the interview.
Hi, I'm Oz Fox from Striper, and this is...
Hey, this is Laura Brewster.
Hey, Laura. Hey, Oz. I'm really excited to see you guys, and I'm really looking forward to checking out those Wayne Oz Fox signature models. How did that come about?
I ran into Michael Charvel, who is Wayne Charvel's son. They work together in building guitars, and Michael's more on the graphics side and does a lot of web page stuff for the company and all whatnot. And it happened probably around 2002 at a NAMM show out in California. I just ran into him, and he said, hey, we should be doing the guitar for you. And I just kind of said, yeah, that'd be great. And we came up with doing the design of the same guitar that's on the back of the Soldiers Under Command album, which is an old Charvel guitar that I had for years and had custom done. And I personally had the design cut that way. It's kind of my own design in a sense. And so when they said they wanted to do my own signature guitar, I thought that would be the guitar to do. And so they did it. And they offer it at their website at wayneguitars.com. And you know, it's great. It's neat to have that available. They have two models. They have the original graphic, which is a little bit more expensive, and they have the black, flat black model, which has two pickups in it. So it's a little bit off the original. And I think they're going to be coming out with a more inexpensive model in the near future that will, you know, everyone will be able to get.
That's great. I remember that guitar from back in the day, and I also remember that Charvel and Jackson had an ad out, and I'm sure you guys remember this, and they had all the different players together. I think Vinnie Vincent from Kiss was in the middle, Michael was in it, and you were, I think, in the back, and I always remembered that picture, and I've been a big fan of those guitars, and I think it's great that the Charvel name is being done by the family now again.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's wonderful. They're a great set of guys, and their hearts are in the right place. They're also believers, as a matter of fact, so that's real important to me, too, you know, and they just want to work with people that are honest, and you know, they want to help other people out that are, you know, going to be honest with them.
Great. So there's one thing that I wanted to ask you about, and I think that you may have touched on this in another interview, but there are a lot of bands that started out as Christian groups, but then when they got into the mainstream, sort of tried to play it down a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's different for everybody. I mean, you really have to be called to do what we're doing. I know for us, we boldly talk about our faith and tell people that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in having eternal salvation by following Jesus Christ and accepting him into your life as Lord and Savior. other groups that may have done that personally, each individual band, may not be so vocal about it, which is fine if that's where they feel they need to be. And I don't judge them for that. You know, I personally, for myself, feel that I need to be bold, and I need to tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I serve Him, and I tell people, you know, they gotta have Christ in their hearts to have eternity with Him. And as history has shown, many people have become Christians and followers of Christ because of that, in which I'm really happy about, and I'm honored.
Thanks. And, you know, the state of the music business right now and the whole industry, there's so much negativity, and I really wish the business could be changed around. And I know that there's hope when there are guys like you guys out there doing what you're doing. So thank you for doing that. One of the other things I wanted to talk about was the sound of the new album. Now, I've only heard the title track, Reborn, and you have a more modern rock sound, but you didn't lose the true Striper sound, and I think you pulled it off successfully, which I think is really hard to do.
The vibe I get from everybody in general in the group is everybody's very pleased with it.
Now, when you guys recorded the new album, did you record it in a, you know, an analog studio, or did you use some of the new digital type of recording?
I know they tracked the drums at a pretty nice studio somewhere, and I'm pretty sure they went digital there. But I know when we went to go do the rest of the tracking, we record at a studio called Mixed Emotions. It's in Middleton, Massachusetts. Our sound engineer, Kenny Lewis, owns the place, and so we get pretty good rate there, and he uses Pro Tools. So that's what we recorded everything on, was Pro Tools. And I think they had a Pro Tools system at the place where we went to, someplace called Blue Jay or something like that.
The album sounds great. The quality is great. And I just keep talking about how you really successfully mixed some of the classic elements of Striper with a modern sound and sounded good doing it. I really like in Reborn how the vocal melody is kind of like a single note and it sounds very modern and heavy. And then the pre-chorus and chorus come in, then it sounds like classic melodic Striper, and I think that's amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as keeping the essence of Striper, it definitely has that in it. But as far as maturing and expanding horizons of the music and the songwriting, it's come a long way. And Michael wrote the whole album. He had all of the songs available, and not all of us were in a position to get together to do writing. So it was nice to have that ready to go, and he just amazed all of us. Matter of fact, mostly for me, not only the sound, but the lyrics have really spoken to my heart. And in the last, 6 months, I've just really grown to love this album in a way that I've never loved any other album. It's really spoken to my heart in so many ways. And I think it will for a lot of people. Be honest with you, the lyrics are very positive and encouraging, and if you're going through a hard time, they can get you through it real well.
Wow, great. Thanks, Oz. This is the third night of the tour, so how's that going so far?
Going real good. The first couple of nights went real well. Our initial show was in Hartford, Connecticut, and we did a show at a place called the Webster Theater, and it was a little rough, but we got through it pretty well, you know. Some of the solos I'm still getting used to, so I'm kind of using my thumb, you know, to figure out where I'm going. But last night was an even better show, and I expect tonight to be a better one here at BB King. So
believe me, I am sure that the shows all went great, and I know bands are always critical of themselves, but I guarantee that the crowd loved it and had no idea that you guys may have known that there were maybe a few things that didn't go exactly as planned.
We're always more critical about ourselves than anyone else. So
well, Oz, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know you guys are getting ready to hit the stage, so thank you very much for taking the time out to do this Talking Metal and Alien Rock podcast. Any last words?
Hope everyone can come to see us play wherever they're at, and whoever's listening, you know, press on. Press on with your faith, and if you don't know Christ, you should know Him. You should get to know who He is. Check out our websites, and you'll see, you know, what you talk about. We talk about what we believe in, and we let people know that, you know, Christ is the Lord of our lives, and we're hoping people will continue to seek after that, seek answers.
Very, very cool. Thank you very much, Oz. And thank you, too.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. This is Mark Striegel back in the studio. We're going to go right now and take a listen to a brand new Striper track. The track is called Reborn, and here it is.
This is Robert Sweet, some call me the visual timekeeper, but I'm the drummer from Striper, and you're here on Talking Metal. Take it easy, bye-bye. That was the title track from the brand new Striper album, Reborn.
John, thanks for doing these interviews. Thanks for hooking up that brand new Striper track there. It sounds great. It sounds really good. I was a fan of the early Striper, the EP, Yellow and Black Attacked. I still have on vinyl and was actually just listening to the other day, and it holds up throughout the years. Heavy stuff, you know, rocking stuff. A lot of people remember them just because of their big single, Honestly, but they were a band that could rock, and they obviously still are a band that can really throw down and rock. And although they updated their sound a little bit, they still have the classic heavy edge that Striper always had. In 1985, too, I was very into Soldiers Under God's Command. That was a great record, too. So I think we still have a little bit more Striper coming up, right, John?
Up next is an interview I did with Michael Sweet, and I just got to say that Michael was really very cool because I hooked up with him earlier in the day and we did an entire interview, and unfortunately we had a technical issue with the computer. So Michael was nice enough to hook back up after the show and do another interview. So thanks again, Michael, for that. Here it is. Check it out. Hey, this is John Astronomy with Michael Sweet. Michael, I wanted to tell you that the show was amazing.
It was a lot of fun, man. We had a great time. I was a little nervous because my voice is a little tired, but I got through it. Thank God we had fun. We just go up there and try to just, you know, have a good time and relax. And as the show goes on and on, you get more and more relaxed, and it gets a little better and better, hopefully, you know, as the show goes on. But thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I was talking to Tracy, and he said, well, it's our third show. I said, I think you guys sound like it's your, like, 100th show on the tour. You guys sounded great, and I thought the vocals were amazing.
Well, we were using, back in the days, 87, 86, 80, 85, we were using some sample BGVs with our live vocals. This is the real deal, you know. This is, like, all live, man, so...
I thought it sounded
That's why you liked it. I don't know.
I thought it sounded unbelievable. And from different even vantage points throughout the club, it really sounded great.
Thank you so much, man. It was Memorex. It was live, you know?
Well, excellent. Michael, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, that was John Astronomy of the band Astronomy, Captain T Astronomy, and Michael Sweet of the band Striper. Great stuff, John. Thanks for getting these interviews. And I think we still have one last interview that you were able to grab at the show. But first, tell me, was the place packed, or how was the crowd?
The crowd was unbelievable. The place was totally packed. You couldn't even get up to, walk to the bar or do anything that you wanted to do. It was really that packed. And the people that were there were all hardcore Striper fans who knew every lyric, they knew every song. There was a point where they were doing kind of like song quizzes, and it was great. And one of the coolest things is that Striper still came out and threw out the Bibles. All these years later, they were still doing that, which was very, very cool. And one of the absolute coolest things is that Michael ended the night with a prayer, which was really great, and it really was uplifting. I felt much better after that.
Nice. The power of prayer at a Striper concert. Very cool. Well, you have one last interview. Kenny Lewis, it says here on the page. Who is Kenny Lewis?
Kenny Lewis is a former Berklee College of Music student. He graduated. I went there. Mark, you went there too as well. And he is the owner of a recording studio that Stryper recorded their most recent album at. And he co-produced the record with Michael. He was very cool, and we were glad to get an interview with him. So here it is, interview with Stryper co-producer Kenny Lewis. Hey, this is John Astronomer. You're listening to Talking Metal, and I'm here with Kenny Lewis, co-producer of the brand new Stryper album, Reborn. How you doing, Kenny?
Doing good. Doing good. We're really happy to be out here on the road and out promoting the record and seeing the fans and getting a chance to play some of the stuff live. It's a long time working on it in the studio, so it's really good to get it out live now.
Very cool. Now, Kenny, I know that as I was, you were a Berklee student. Now, you were also a drummer, but was your major music production and engineering?
Yes, I was a production major. Production has always been like my second first love.
That's amazing. And you have a studio up in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I own Mixed Emotions Music, which is a Pro Tools room. We do a lot of mixing work and stuff like that up there.
Very cool. What are some of the other groups that you've worked with?
A lot of local bands. I just did something that was sent to me from California. It was an acoustic thing with L.A. Guns and Kip Winger and Night Ranger and Slaughter. And there was a couple other bands. It was one of the acoustic things they were doing. It was actually sent to me by the same guy who produced the who's working on producing the Stryper DVD.
Very, very cool. Is this the Stryper DVD that was recorded like a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that was recorded down in Puerto Rico just before Timmy left the band. And the footage looks amazing. It's just a matter of now of just finishing it up and getting it out. And, you know, now with the new record company involved, we're really looking forward to working with them on that project.
Very cool. So your studio, Michael told me that you've got a complete Pro Tools system, and basically that's the program that you use to do the recording.
Yes, I'm running Pro Tools HD. It's an HD3 rig. I also have 2-inch tape in case I get sent stuff on old reels or anything like that. Usually most people can't afford to record on tape these days because the tape budget's incredibly high, and it's very tough to find now, actually.
I heard that it's actually hard to physically get the 2-inch tape nowadays.
That's definitely true. A lot of the companies aren't making it anymore. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure if anybody is making it right now.
That's unbelievable because I'm so used to recording on tape. I love the Pro Tools stuff. It's amazing. I have a kind of entry-level Pro Tools system at home, but recording on tape was something that I was always used to, and I think it's great that you have the capability of doing 2-inch tape and Pro Tools, which is like the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. I mean, I came up doing analog, so I mean that it was really important to me to also have that available. I mean, as converters and stuff are getting better, I mean, Pro Tools has sounded better and better and better, but there's still different things you can do on analog that you can't do in Pro Tools, but of course, there's amazing things you can do in Pro Tools that you can't do with analog, too. So it's good to have both.
Yeah, you have the best of both worlds. Well, Kenny, I just wanted to say thanks for taking the time out. I know that you guys are in the middle of loading out here and doing everything. So thank you again, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Take care, man. Thank you.
Okay, that was some great stuff. We are very proud to have our first, well, yeah, I would say our first major celebrity interview here on Talking Metal, thanks to John Astronomy, who hooked the whole thing up. No disrespect to CC Banana, who, of course, was interviewed in the first episode of Talking Metal. He's a celebrity in his own mind and in our minds, too. But Stryper is the real deal, and good stuff, good stuff. And I'm sure we're going to have some new listeners to this show because of the Stryper interview. And if you like hard rock and heavy metal music, please subscribe to us through the Apple iTunes store, or just come here to Striegel's Music News and download the MP3s. We have free stickers. If you're interested in a Talking Metal sticker, we will send you one for free. Just send me an email at mark@captaint.com. That's mark@captaint.com. And just put sticker on the subject line. Send me your address. We'll send it out to you. Wherever you live, South Africa, Australia, Europe, United States, Canada, we're getting a lot of listeners from all over the world, which is great. And I would also just like to say about episode 9, I was trying to run all those Meshuggah songs together like they run on the CD. They all flow into one another. But due to some kind of technical problem, iTunes, when I was importing the songs, kept adding a second onto the end of them. And the editing job that I did in trying to piece them together wasn't the greatest, but at least you got a taste for the Meshuggah record. But anyways, this has been the Stryper episode of Talking Metal, episode 10. John, why don't you take us out here? You got some special thanks you want to include in the show?
Yep, I got some special thanks. And before I get to that, I got a very special announcement. Peter over at Big 3 Entertainment, Striper's new label, did a very cool thing for us. He is going to give the first two listeners to email their address to john@ostronomy.com. That's J-O-H-N at O-S-T-R-O-N-O-M-Y.com. A very rare vinyl version of the Striper Reborn album, which is very, very cool. I haven't actually even seen one of those yet. It's pretty amazing. And all you other listeners who email in after that, we are going to have a limited supply of Reborn CD singles that we'll send out to you. So put Striper Contest in the subject line, and we will announce the winners on an upcoming episode, and we will let you know via email. So keep listening. And before we head off, I want to thank everybody who made this episode possible. I want to thank Mark Striegel, my co-host. I want to thank Rena Suick from BB Kings. She is amazing, set this whole thing up. I want to thank Amy Cox from Deep South Management, Striper's Management, Rick Pietola, Striper's Road Manager, Anthony Iovino, and Peter Wark from Big 3 Entertainment. And I'd like to thank my good friend Mike Fortunato, who works in the television industry and helped me out at the show. So thanks again, and thanks for listening to Talking Metal. We hope to talk to you real soon. Rock on.